This is bookcareers.com live, the podcast about careers in book publishing for people who are looking for a job, building a career, or who want to do their current job better. I'm your host, Suzanne Collier, the founder of bookcareers.com, and it's my job to solve career problems relating to the book world. Hello and welcome to episode 61 of bookcareers.com live. Like us, you're probably still gathering the news that the London Book Fair 2020 has been cancelled due to the coronavirus, but also as a number of publishers pulled out because they had a duty of care. So this episode focuses on what a duty of care actually means for both employers and employees. And I'm in conversation with Nancy Roberts, owner of Umbrella Analytics, who was formerly the operations director of the academic division of Cambridge University Press. Hello, Nancy. Thank you for joining me at such short notice.
Hi, Suzanne. Great to join you. And yeah, it's a fast-moving environment at the moment, so looking forward to talking about this.
Great, thank you. Let's just start by talking about the cancellation of the London Book Fair and some of the potential implications. I mean, obviously, there's a knock-on effect. I can see from Twitter that publishers and agents, wherever possible, have already arranged Skype or Zoom meetings at the same time that their original meetings were taking place. But a lot of companies and service companies and people like myself will rely on footfall to gather business. What do you think the implications could be of not having that added sort of icing on the cake business?
Yeah, I think that's where the real problem is. I mean, obviously, we all understand the difficulties of the situation, but I think for the smaller independents, for example, and for freelancers, of which our industry is heavily reliant, as we know, and for, as you say, service providers who've potentially, you know, flown a team in or were planning to fly a team in from India, China, wherever, I think the financial implications are quite severe. I mean, we all know that it's the big event really for many of us. And it's a big part of people's budget. So I think that is a real challenge. And I think while it's great to replace your meetings with Skype calls and so on, if you can, there's going to be some real gaps in people's budgets this year. And I think a lot of us are scrambling to kind of figure out how we can reach out to people which will have to be in a more kind of concerted way than maybe just being at the fair and going to the events and picking up the contacts that way. So I think it is going to have quite a lot of ramifications for the smaller players.
That's right. I mean, we've had our big careers clinic cancelled, which is one of our biggest events of the year, where we have all the HR teams from all the major publishers and recruitment companies coming in and having one-to-ones with candidates. And we're taking that online in a different sort of way, where we hopefully will be able to reach more people than we could have done just at the fair. But even so, the implications not having those face-to-face meetings is really quite critical. Mm-hmm. If you've got any comments that you want to make about the publishers who initially pulled out, I think Hachette was the first, stating a duty of care for employees. What would you consider is an employer's duty of care?
So, yeah, it's an interesting one. And obviously, events unfolded sort of quite quickly over the past week or so, with different publishers taking different lines at different times. But I think, you know, as an employer, you have a responsibility to be assessing the risk to your staff of anything that you're asking them to do. So, you know, in this instance, obviously, Hachette and others were looking at the profile of people they were expecting to meet, the volume of people that might be coming through their stand, the potential risks of having people in that enclosed environment in quite close contact for that period of time, and judged that it was too risky. I think it's hard from the outside to kind of know whether that was the right decision or not. But as we saw, the other publishers followed suit quite quickly. So I think, you know, I think there is quite a powerful message actually from publishers saying, you know, we want to protect our staff. Of course, they want to protect their business as well, but, you know, looking after their staff. And quite often at the book fairs, what you find is an awful lot of very junior staff who may have felt pressured to go, even if the, you know, if the book fair had gone ahead, they may have felt pressured to attend, even though they may not have wanted to. So I think, you know, taking that stand at an early stage is actually a really positive message about putting your employees first in what's a difficult situation for everyone.
That it's really reassuring to hear that the, you know, this is the stand that the larger companies took.
Yeah, I agree.
Because some smaller employers might not have considered the implications for their employees. I mean, what should a smaller organisation be doing now as part of a duty of care?
Well, I think if you're a smaller employer, I mean, the great thing about being a smaller employer is often actually it's much easier to be more flexible. So I would say that smaller employers should be really, you know, talking to their employees daily about the situation, about how they're feeling about it, and looking at how they can put in plans to have people work remotely if needed, to take, you know, for people to sort of set up their technology to be able to work from home if needed. And also, I think, again, having those conversations around checking in that people are comfortable to come into the office, whether they have any issues outside of work. So, you know, we need to remember it's not just about people who are infected, but, you know, if people have caring responsibilities like children or elderly relations that they're caring for, they may be very concerned about them as well. So I think for the smaller employers, it's really about kind of keeping that dialogue open and also making sure that you're encouraging people, if they need to be able to work from home or to take a few days out of the office if they feel worried about commuting, and just kind of giving that support in other ways.
I mean, that is one possible potential beneficial outcome that might come from all of this, is that some publishers that might have been reticent or reluctant to let people work remotely are now actually going to see the benefits and forced into seeing the benefits of allowing staff to work remotely.
Absolutely. And I think it's a really interesting, you know, sort of trying to reframe this as an opportunity in that sense, I think is what a lot of employers should be thinking about, because we do see in the industry still a lot of kind of presenteeism and, you know, you must come into the office and you must be working late and all of those things. And I think this is a great opportunity for both employers and employees to test this out and see if it can be made to work. I mean, I strongly believe that almost every role in publishing can be done remotely and flexibly, and that may look different in different circumstances. It's not always going to just be somebody working from home, and that might always not be ideal for individuals either, but I think this is an opportunity to really test that out, make sure the technology works, so, you know, really get everybody trained up on conferencing systems and chat messaging services that they may have in-house that they may not use, and really kind of use this as an opportunity to see how we could potentially increase remote working and flexible working in our industry, by sort of seeing how we cope in this crisis.
Yeah, and I think I agree entirely that more publishers should be embracing remote working. It's such huge benefits for both the employers and the employees, and employees become far more efficient, I think, when they're given a little bit of flexibility and a little bit of self-reliance.
Yeah, I completely agree. And I think if you treat your employees as grown-ups, yeah, that's how they'll behave. So, you know, if you're prepared to say, look, if you don't want to come into the office, that's fine, but we'd really like to, you know, set you up to work from home and make sure that you have the training to do that, then, you know, see how that goes. But my guess would be most people will deliver more, because actually they don't have the stress of commuting, which can, you know, take a chunk of time out of your day, and also it means you arrive at the office, you know, not necessarily in the best frame of mind. It's probably going to mean that many people are going to fewer meetings, because we will focus on the meetings that really, really matter, rather than just kind of people filling their diary with chats and stuff. So, you know, I think it would be really interesting as a manager to kind of think about that as we go through this period. Like, how does it play out? Are you still getting the same level of output My guess would be that you might even get more. Yes. And what can we learn? What can we learn about how, as an industry, we could reshape the way that we work?
Yeah, I worked with a client who'd gone from working from home into working into an office. And his comment was, how does anybody get any work done here? Constant interruptions. You know, I was far more productive when I was working at home. And I think that people that, you know, as I said, people that were reluctant to allow employees to work at home might actually realise there are huge, huge benefits. But going back to duty of care, you mentioned in the beginning about employees feeling pressured to go even had the fair been taking place. What can an employee do, particularly if their employer might be reticent or not going far enough to protect the employee's duty of care?
Yeah, so I think as an employee, it's really good to be aware of what your rights are and what your sort of particular situation is. So I would definitely recommend to employees, if they're in a difficult position, that they look at the advice that's out there. So particularly ACAS is a great source of advice for employees anyway, but has put out some advice around coronavirus and what the implications might be. So, you know, I would say if you are concerned, you have every right to raise that with your employer. You know, if you feel uncomfortable about going to a certain place, whether it's the office or an event that they've asked you to go to, then I would raise that with your employer as a first stage and have that conversation, express your concerns and have a discussion. If you still feel that you're being put under pressure, I think then definitely looking at some of those resources like ACAS. Obviously, if you're a union member, they will be able to support you in having that conversation as well. And I think, you know, this is an unusual situation and things are moving very quickly. So I think you have to bear that in mind, that employers are kind of scrabbling to make sure they're doing the right thing. So, you know, try and keep the lines of dialogue open, but if it reaches the point where you're being asked to do things you're not comfortable with, then I think you are in a situation where you can push back quite hard. And I think I would also say, you know, if you really feel under pressure to do something you don't want to do, then that's a situation which may shade into bullying or harassment. So, you know, you need to think about whether there's options there to kind of pursue a more formal route if it goes that far. I'm confident that in most cases it won't, and a good honest discussion would be the way to go. But you do have protections and rights, so if you feel under pressure, definitely look into those and make sure you're protecting yourself.
That is really good advice. I was going to suggest, you know, ACAS and the unions, particularly the NUJ, I think has already taken some sort of stand on this as well. Now, what sort of management issues do you think this raises in-house? Because part of this is a management issue. You mentioned bullying, harassment. Mm. Have you got any ideas or thoughts on that?
So, yeah, I think there's a range of issues that gets raised up here. I mean, obviously, as a manager, during this period, if you have got people working from home and other people maybe coming into the office or however it plays out, you do still have to obviously make sure that the work is getting done. And I think, you know, we may find that one of the things that lets us down as an industry is the poor quality of some of our systems, particularly in, you know, mid-sized organisations who haven't got the resources to have, you know, globally accessible systems. So I think thinking about how you're going to keep the information flowing up front would be really useful. Can you set up, you know, can you make use of cloud software? Can you have a kind of update spreadsheet on Google Drive or something if you don't have systems that everybody can access from home? I think the other thing is to be really mindful of the people's mental health, I guess, during this period, because if people are self-isolating, that can be very isolating at the risk of stating the obvious. So, you know, if people are trapped at home and feeling quite concerned about their own health or the health of their family, that can be a very difficult time. So again, if you're a team that's usually all in the office and suddenly you're kind of dispersed, I would definitely say that you'll need to put more effort into kind of checking in with people, making sure that they have got someone to talk to, you know, maybe put in a weekly Skype call or a, you know, daily Skype call just of a few minutes for you all to get together and just see if everybody's doing okay sort of mentally, or if anybody needs to talk about anything, because I think that's the piece that actually could be in many ways more difficult, because we know that many people probably won't end up getting the virus even if they're feeling ill at the moment, and if they do they may not get it that severely. But actually, if you're stuck at home for 2 weeks not able to go out, that can be really quite difficult for many people. So keep in touch, you know, keep on the chat messages, keep checking in with people, make sure that they're looking out for each other as well, and really try and make sure that nobody's kind of sitting at home feeling like they haven't seen anyone for a few days.
Yeah, I mean, that too is one of the benefits, you know, of the company group chat, but also of social media.
Absolutely, yeah.
You know, you just look at Twitter and you can join in a conversation with people somewhere, in, you know, whether it's publishing or non-publishing, you know, just look at the trending hashtags and join into a conversation, even if it's just for 5 or 10 minutes. Just don't get caught down a rabbit hole.
Yeah. Yeah, but and also I think, you know, things like just having that check-in every morning with your team, but having it as a video conference so you can see each other and just wave, you know, that goes a long way to just reminding people that they are connected. So, you know, see how you can use the technology to kind of keep everybody in touch.
Yeah, it sort of disperses the myth that you people that work from home spend all day in their pyjamas as well.
Yes.
You won't be in your pyjamas. And I understand that you're running a management course for ALPS. Do you want to tell us a bit about that?
Yeah, so one of the things that I'm quite passionate about, and also Claire Griss-Taylor, who I do the course with, is very passionate about, is that both of us in our careers in publishing kind of became managers slightly by accident, and never really received a lot of support around that. And I think as an industry, we maybe in the past haven't been very good at understanding that management is a different skill set and a set of things that you need to learn. So we're really passionate about helping managers in publishing understand management better. So we put together this course to just kind of really give people, I guess, a little bit of the sort of transactional basics about the things that you need to do as a manager in terms of, you know, appraisals and feedback conversations and those things, but also thinking about the kind of the softer side, how you build a team, how you motivate a team, how you can really get the best out of everyone. So we think it's a really kind of practical kind of playbook, if you like, for how to start off in management and how to understand what your team, how your team react to you and those types of things. So really looking forward to delivering the first one for ALPS in a month or so. That's just hopeful that coronavirus will allow people to travel and get in the room together, but if not, I'm sure we'll find a technological solution. But obviously great if we can all be together.
Yeah, and of course training courses like that are much smaller, compact events, so hopefully they'd fall on, if there are any restrictions, they won't fall under those restrictions.
Yeah, hopefully.
Okay, that needs me to thank you for your valuable time today. And anybody that wants to contact Nancy can find her on Twitter at Umbrella Data. Thank you, Nancy.
Thanks, Suzanne.
Now it is your opportunity to join in the live discussion. You can find us across social media using the hashtag BookCareers, or on Twitter at BookCareers, or me personally, Suzanne Collier. Or visit our own platform at bookcareers.com/live. Thank you for listening. May you all be doing a job you love and being paid the salary that you so richly deserve.